And it's good to see everybody out this morning. Always a blessing, encouragement to be able to gather together as the opportunity presents. I hope that all had a good holiday last week. Everybody enjoyed Thanksgiving and hopefully took the time to look back into all the things that we can be thankful for, as we talked about in the adult class this morning, and all the blessings that we can count. Considering all the wonderful things that, of course, as we studied in Joel, the wonderful things that God has done for Israel, but what God has blessed us with and has done for you individually and for me and for each and every person. He's done so many great things for us. As we've gathered together this morning, I'd like to talk about you. I could go into how I desire to have a little bit more of my youth back. I know a lot will look at it, saying I'm still young. This holiday, I got to go back home and play with my parents, my family, and stuff. My family ends up renting a recreational center and playing basketball and volleyball. I'm telling you now, I didn't feel my youth. I was sore. Still am. I'm not going to talk about our physical health and youth, but as we consider truly looking at the young and speaking a lesson more towards them, there are also points towards those who are older as we go throughout this lesson also. And the mindset of looking at the Word of God and seeing what it has to say to the youth. And my first point is brought out, there is a point to be brought out of those older than the younger. And to the extent that there is a parent's responsibility to their children. A parent's responsibility to the youth, to the young. There are a lot of scriptures throughout it that point towards that. You open your Bibles and follow along in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and you start there and in verse 9, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, and starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Here, as he goes to explain, the Lord your God, he is only one. You shall love him with all that you have. And within loving God with all you have, that means that you are going to give your children over to God. The only way of doing that is to teach them about God. To show them the right direction in which they need to live their lives. So he says, you teach them when they rise up. You teach them when they lay down. You write it on the post, so that they see it when they go to and fro from the house. It should always be taught. Something you talk about throughout the day. It is something that you continue to teach. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 7. We're going to be reading through verse 14. And many times it talks about instance. It talks about things that God has done. And that's why you are to teach your children, because you don't want them forgetting. You don't want it to end with you. Once you leave, once you go, you don't want them questioning, what do we do now? What do we do now that mom and dad aren't here? How do we live our lives? And why do we live our lives that way? So read here in 30 verse 7, it says, "For what a great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us for whatever reason we may call upon him. And what a great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I've set before you this day. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, I will let them hear the words that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. And he goes through verse 14 explaining, reminding them what took place when he went up to the mountain, when they heard the Lord speak. When Israel heard God speak, as he brought out, he said, so they may fear. And they did. It was such a thundering voice. They said, Moses, don't let him speak to us anymore. They said, you talk to him and you come tell us what he said. They did not want to hear it again because it was that scary. Because it was that thunder. And he says, teach these things. Remind them these things. Look who you are. Is there any other God? Is there any other nation so blessed? When we look at it today. Is there any other greater being out there that can do what God has done for us? We should be pointing to God in all things. How He has blessed us. How He has taken care of us. What He has done for us. And then what He expects from us. What He expects in return. So that we can have even a greater blessing of a home in heaven. Of spending eternity with our Father up in heaven. We have that responsibility to continue to teach. In Joel chapter 1 verse 3, as we've been studying in Joel in the adult class. In Joel 1 verse 3, once again, this is what they told him, he had told them to do also. He says, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Teach the word. And we don't just teach it as a story to tell at story time or as you're thinking about good times or as you're relating about the hard times, but you're teaching to teach a point. To remember what happens when we don't have God on our side. To remember how it is when God is there for you. That there's always blessings to count. To remember that He is always there for you. We have this responsibility to train our children. In Ephesians 4 and verse 6. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Or chapter 6 and verse 4. I got those backwards. Chapter 6 and verse 4. And it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That we train them in the sight of God. Once again, that comes up on us that we teach them the commandments of God. We teach them how they should act as they live their lives. How they need to speak when they go out in public, when they're at home in private, what we should be wearing, how we need to be modest. We need to teach these things. This is a responsibility given to parents. To make sure that we train up our young people. Make sure that they are prepared to go into the world. There are many more verses that we can go forth in parents speaking to their children. But to continue on the lesson. To continue on the point of speaking to the youth. Parents do have that responsibility, but once there comes a point in time. Now I'm not going to say there's a certain age that it doesn't necessarily mean when you're 9. Doesn't mean when you're 12 or when you hit your teens. Necessarily doesn't mean when you're 20. There comes a time and point when you become accountable for your own actions. Nowhere in the Bible does it give us a specific age. Well, I can't say there is a certain age. Everybody matures at a different level, at a different time as they grow older. But we come to a point where we can understand the Word of God for ourselves. Where we're not just coming in these doors because mom and dad are dragging you in. But because you know what the Word of God has to say. Because you believe what the Word of God has to say. And you're able to stand up and make that answer for yourself when your friends ask you why you come to service. And you can point to the Scriptures in the Bible and show them the truth. You become accountable for your choices. You become accountable for whether or not you obey the Word of God. And the same thing as we read here in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, we talked about parents training their children. The first three verses are to the children. Giving them commandments, making sure they understand what they're supposed to be doing. It says their children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon earth. See, here it says that there's a commandment for the children. Once you come to that age of understanding of yes and no, of right and wrong, you have to start being respectful of your parents. You are to obey them while under their household. It comes a responsibility given to children. Turn along with me to Ezekiel 18. In Ezekiel chapter 18, bringing out the responsibility of your own actions, of your own choices. Ezekiel 18 and in verse 19. Ezekiel 18 and reading there and in verse 19. It says, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and is right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Right here, brings it out, makes the point plain and clear. A son will not inherit the sin and guilt of his dad. Whatever wrongdoing that the father or mother has committed, it does not get passed on to the child. They are responsible for their own actions. And it doesn't matter in what situation that you've lived your life and where you've grown up, when you come to that age where you're able to get out on your own and make your own choices and ask your own questions of asking what is the truth? What is right and wrong? What must I do in order to be saved? A responsibility. A father also will not bear the guilt of his child. They have the responsibility of raising them up, showing them the right direction. But once again, at a certain point in time, you're able to ask your own questions. You're able to search for the truth on your own. You become accountable for your own actions, for your own sin. And also for the righteousness and acts that you do for keeping this command. We become accountable for our own actions. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and in verse 16. It says, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for the fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. We are accountable for our own actions. It doesn't matter how bad the parents become, or how much the children want to teach their children, their parents, if they do not choose to obey on their own. It doesn't matter how much good one has done or the other has done wrong. You're accountable for your own actions. I understand that doesn't mean we don't try to reach out, we don't try to teach, we don't try to bring them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But if they choose not to, if you choose not to obey, that will be your choice. That will be what you're accountable for. Our decisions that we make as we go through our lives, especially as we are young, has an impact on what comes to us in the end, in the future, as we live our lives continuously. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, Proverbs chapter 20, you read along with me in verse 11, it says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. It says a child. God knows. He knows you by your deeds. He knows whether you're respectful or disrespectful. He knows what... whether or not you know the truth or you don't know the truth. Whether you're capable of asking the right questions and seeking for the truth or not. He knows your heart. He knows what decision you have made in your life. Meaning if time comes to an end today, or if something were to happen as we depart from one another this afternoon, you face judgment. God knows. He knows all. He knows the secret things that are in your heart that you have done, that you have not done. Going back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 39, there's a reason that there's so much in Deuteronomy as Moses is trying to prepare. He's trying to prepare all the children of Israel before they enter in to Canaan. Before they cross over to Jordan, he's given his one last long big speech throughout Deuteronomy, trying to prepare them, get them ready. Because guess what? Everybody who was at the age of accountability, everybody who was about to, should have entered into the land, who should have fought in the army, they're all gone. They've all passed away as they've wandered in the wilderness. They've all died. So therefore, he's got to teach the children. He's got to teach them now that they're at that age of accountability. Now that they're at that point, be ready to go into this land and keep the commandments of God. So you read here, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 39, that's what it's bringing out here. It says, moreover, you little ones and your children, who you say will be victims who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it. And they shall possess it. The first chapter is a request. And it goes back to that extent. It talks about when they rejected going into the land. When the Lord told them. They said, we can't take these giants. It says those little ones. Who did not know right from wrong. They are innocent. When we're at the age of understanding. We can make that decision. We are going to be accountable for our actions. We are going to be accountable for what we choose to do. And all those who were at the age at this time point, they wandered through the wilderness until they died. Not one of them, except for Caleb and Joshua, entered into that land. Because they were the only two that were prepared to do what the Lord had commanded. They were the only two who were ready to say, the Lord will deliver us. Yes, they may be giants. Yes, they may have great armies. But we can do it. Because God said we can do it. And they were rewarded. Just as you will be rewarded if you choose to obey His commands. James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Once again, that question of, well, how do we know when that age comes at that point? James 4 and verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. See, we don't ever want to force anybody to be baptized. We don't want to force anyone. This has to be a personal choice, a personal belief. But you're not just doing it because mom and dad expects you to do it. We're not doing it just because everybody's waiting for you to do it. But because you personally believe, you personally know what the Word of God has to say. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that He died for your sins. And you have faith that through His blood, through baptism, you reach His blood and your sins are washed away. That means you know that that is a good attribute. You know in your heart that's what God has commanded it. So it says there, if you know to do good and do not do it to you, it is sin. You have to ask yourself, you have to question, you have to look at it. Do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that if you do not obey Him, that there is a punishment in Him? But if you do obey, if you seek first the kingdom of God, that your sins will be forgiven. I want to look at a couple of examples, or warnings. Warnings that need to be let out. We're not going to go straight in detail of warnings, but the simple fact that all the things that the Word of God has to say about sin need to be taught to our young ones, need to be reminded to our young ones. Going back to Ezekiel. Going back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 9. Ezekiel 11. And in verse 9. It says, and I will bring you out to the midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgment on you. You shall fall by the sword. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The city shall not be your Calvary, nor shall you be me in its midst. I will judge you in the border of Israel. Ecclesiastes, that's what. I mean, it's Ecclesiastes. Let's go to the right book. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young men, in your youth. Once again, bringing out that point that the youth is something to rejoice in. That you have that extra energy, that you're able to do more things, that you're able, you're at your prime, you're able to do good things. It says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. It says, rejoice. Enjoy it. Do good. But remember. Remember when you go out saying, I am young. Remember when you go out saying, I have time. God will judge you. There's good things we can do while still young. That doesn't have to deal with sin. That doesn't have to deal with rebellion. Verse 10, it says, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in it. It says, remember the Creator while you're young. Remember him as you go forward and make decisions. Because life is only going to get difficult. Difficult days are to come, as it brings out. Years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure. We don't watch what we do when we're young. Again, it makes a difference. We don't watch what we do today. It makes a difference. In the eternal scheme, as we bring out, it makes a difference in what will be judged, what our reward will be, whether we'll be punished. But we can look at the physical punishments that come upon us today, dealing with the actual consequences of our decisions that we make. I can think of just a simple point. And going to school that I didn't like school. I didn't do good at school. I didn't try to get good grades. I did great. I went into preaching where I have to read all the time. I have to study. I make PowerPoints and presentations and try to write some stuff here and there. I'm not good at spelling. I'm not good with grammar. I don't understand all the things, and as I'm trying to raise my son as he started into kindergarten, I question stuff. And he asks questions I don't know the answer to because I didn't do good at school. I regret it. This is due to the decisions I made when I was in school. And there's physical consequences when we choose to do sin in this life as we're young. That though you repent of your sins and though you strive to do better, doesn't take away some of the consequences we got to deal with, that you have to deal with as you continue on. The reputation that you have set for others. We have to remember. Turn along with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of the days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And then if you would have time to read the remaining of Proverbs 3 and read more than just that proverb, but throughout the rest of Proverbs. In other spots, that there are many points like that, that he speaks as speaking to his son. He says, hear me, my son. He warns him of the harlot on the street. He warns him of certain things that are to come. That if he doesn't do what is right, it'll drag him down. And he will have to face the punishment. Warnings that need to be met. That's why you see Moses warning the children. That's why you see Joshua at the end of Joshua chapter 24, and we often quote that verse in verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he was saying more than that. He was warning the rest of the children of Israel. He was saying, if you are not going to serve God, then you got the consequences coming. He says, you can choose to serve the gods of Egypt, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites, but for me and my house, we're going to serve our God, the one and true only God. And he was warning them. He was challenging them to do what is right. So if we don't warn against the evil that is out there, against sin, because sometimes the subjects are hard. Sometimes we just don't want to talk about it. They're awkward sometimes. And when those times come, they're not prepared. We will be accountable for whether or not we trained our children, whether or not we've set the right. Once again, speaking to the youth, you have to listen to the warnings that are being given. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, here Paul has left Timothy to do his own preaching, left Timothy to continue to evangelize. But he still continues to warn him here. He still continues to tell him he needs to make sure he keeps an eye on the prize and continue to flee sin. As he says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He had to continue to point him in the right direction. He wanted to continue to warn him of the sin that is behind the door if we open it up. Or we could be like David. I hope we have enough time that we have time to ask for forgiveness. As he wrote there in Psalm 25, verse 7, as he had said, do not remember the sins of my youth. You know, I know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's all, we all have something that we can sit back and look at and say we wish we'd never done. So we go back and we could have erased those sins. We have to be wise in our decisions. We want to finish up looking at a few examples this morning. 1 Samuel, you'll open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 55. We look at David as he fought Goliath. We know that he was a young man, and to get an exact age, I can't give to you. But in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 55, you read here what Saul had to say. What Saul had to say to him. That's further than old. So when Saul said, David going, Saul, David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Even Saul could tell he was young. He was too young to be in the army. And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. If you go to Numbers 1, verse 3, it has the law being given as the law of Moses being written as they're trying to figure out how to work together as they've grown into a nation. We see that there is an age to enter into the army. If I'm not mistaken, it's the age of 20. So we know that he was younger than that. He was the youngest of his brethren. He had three brothers, I believe, that were in the army. If you recall the story here, even in Samuel, that his brother approached him. As David was questioning what would become of the man who took down this giant. And why hasn't anyone done it? Who is allowing him to defy the armies of God? And his brother spoke down to him as a child. And he says, you just come here just to see war. You come here to see battles and you want to see blood. You know, he thought he was there just to see and because he just can't wait to get over. David was a young man when he was able to make a decision. He knew, at least this, he knew who his God was. He knew that his God would deliver. He had faith in his God. He knew that. We look at the example of Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Once again, looking at Timothy and his teaching. Paul had to make sure that he continued to warn him as we brought out in 2 Timothy. But he also encouraged him to continue in his teaching. And it says here, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And I don't just sit back and say, well, there are those who are older than I that haven't yet obeyed, even though you know the truth in your heart. You can be the one that sets the example for others. You can be the one to show the love that you have for God and that God has for you. Maybe by your example, others will see the truth in what they need to do too. I remember the day I was baptized. The first day, one of the first things I had done after being baptized, I went to my cousin. Gave her a hug and said she could do it too. We're only 5 days apart, literally, back and being born. We were pretty close. And I knew she knew the truth because she was taught the same thing I was taught. We can set examples for others. And you can do that even when you're young. Of course, we can look to Jesus Once again, this is not saying that once you're 12 years age, at that point you obey the gospel. We know that he was 12 when he went into the temple. He started asking questions. He started questioning and being about his father's business. Luke 2 and verse 42 says that when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. And then you jump down further in verse 46. It says, now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Once again, I want to bring out, Jesus is a special case. He is the Son of God. And he knew who he was. He knew what he needed to be about. When his mother Mary asked him why she had known this, he says, did you not know that it should be about my Father's business? But that comes to that same point for you today. That if you know that you're supposed to be about God's business, that you're supposed to be living as an example, following in the footsteps of Christ, you know that he is the Son of God. We send the invitation to you. We send that opportunity this morning to be baptized, to act upon what you know to be the truth. But we also extend the opportunity that if you have questions, if you sit there, you think you know the truth, but you're not sure if you know everything you need to know, and you have questions, ask them. You can come forward and let it be known you want to study, or you want to ask a few questions before you're baptized. Or you can pull one of the, you pull me aside, or your parents, or somebody you trust. Pull them aside before you leave today and ask. Say, I got a couple questions. I do think I need to be baptized, but I want to make sure that I'm right. Don't wait till you get home. Don't wait till tomorrow or wait till tonight. Be prepared and act upon your faith. Act upon what you believe. Ask the questions you need to ask. What I need to do to be better. We can help you in anything. We let it be known what you stand. Thank you.
me to